I will say the Brandon Ingram, though, it did make me want to get a sleeve, which I'm planning on getting something approximating that something.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Lebatard. That is Mina Kimes and Bomani Jones. Let's get started.
How big of a problem is it that Washington State's coach discouraged players from joining the Pac-12 Unity Group?
All right. This is a dirty story. This is the exact opposite way you want to head into a new career, new season in a new place. Bomani Jones has actually been talking to players as part of this Pac-12 story. He has spoken to players at Washington State. So let me defer to him here because he's actually doing the reporting on this to start this story.
All right, so here's the strangest thing about this to me. I talked to Cassidy Woods, a receiver on the team yesterday, who was opted out because of COVID-19. He's the one who was recorded in that conversation with Nick Rolovich that got out earlier in the week. The thing that's strange is he says that he and one of his teammates had a Zoom call with Nick Rolovich when he called 2 or 3 weeks ago and told him about the movement and told them what they were doing, what they were thinking of. And he said the coach was supportive. So then he goes in and has the conversation with him on Saturday night over the phone. And when that happens, he's stunned by the reaction that he received from his head coach because he didn't see any way in the world that that lined up with the conversation that they'd had before. He said that his coach understood what the concerns were, that he understood that there was no plan in place and that all of this seemed like a bad idea. And then suddenly everything flipped up. And now we're in a case where we got three players who opted out. And now they haven't been told they've been kicked off the team, but they haven't been told that they haven't been kicked off the team. And they say that everything they deal with feels like they've been kicked off the team. They've been removed from group chats. They cannot come to the facility even to eat. So at this point, the question for Washington State is, like, did you kick the guys off the team or not? Because it could go either way, and they could put out a statement to the media, through the media to say that, no, the guys had not been kicked off the team. You probably should talk to them instead of us.
I'm just glad there's a transcript of this, right? Because imagine if there wasn't, and there was a brief period when Cassidy Woods said what happened in this conversation, Bomani, and the transcript hadn't gotten out. And of course, people didn't believe Cassidy Woods. They gave the coach the benefit of the doubt. And it makes you think how many of these conversations happen around the country all the time with coaches and happen when the Northwestern players unionize. And we just didn't know that they happened because there wasn't a transcript. Because if you read it, and I used to cover labor, it is a pretty clear case of intimidation. Like, you don't even have to read between the lines. He is the one who brings up the unity movement, the fact they're organizing. He is the one, and I'm talking about the coach, who said it was a problem. And then he articulates exactly why it's a problem, not because of COVID or health, but because of money. And the fact that he feels that way, or that the money is the real reason why he is so concerned, why I imagine colleges and conferences across America are concerned. He's not the only person in college sports who feels that way. He just got caught saying it out loud.
I find the money portion of this to be fascinating when you see that Drexel University study and you're looking at the headline. We've always known there's been exploitation across sports, but you're looking at the headline on that study, and it's basically that all of these black kids in the sports of football and basketball are being denied generational wealth because the money is going to guys like this coach, commissioners of the Pac-12, administrators that are largely white are getting a disproportionate amount of this money that's not going to players, that this study from Drexel shows. A player in basketball or football is basically the disproportionately black sports do $1 million over 4 years. And even at schools like Alabama and Duke, they're getting 1/6 of that in scholarships because we're not paying these administrators and these commissioners in education and books.
Right. And Mina, that's where it gets to be interesting, where we talk about Rolovich and say that he said he was okay with the race stuff, but the pay stuff is where it starts getting weird. There's been a study that's been done to show that a real correlating factor to people's opposition to players being paid is racial animus. It's really hard to separate any of those things right now. And that's the thing that the players get: the safety component, the racial component, and the economic component. They all go together right now in this time. They all go together always, because part of the reason why these guys are so concerned about their safety is that economically they don't have any power. And part of why they don't have any power economically is because they're treated like they're black.
Are you confident that the Pelicans will make the playoffs now that Zion is closing games?
All right. I am by leaps and bounds the oldest member of this panel. I have spent more than a quarter of a century covering sports, and I have heard of minutes restrictions, and I have heard of load management. What I have never heard before is the phrase burst restriction. We do not want our burst restricted when it comes to this particular player. We want maximum burst from this player who doesn't have a whole lot of precedent body-wise and who blows up sneakers while he's at Duke. So we all want to see him, but the team that has much more invested in him than us and the doctors who have much more at risk than us are saying he needs a burst restriction. I'm not going to argue with them.
Yeah, the question was whether or not they can make it to the AC now that he's playing a bit more. Probably, right? He looks great. Turns out having a guy who's the size of a Sub-Zero refrigerator, who can do whatever you want around the rim, helps you close out games. He is terrific to watch. And watching him yesterday, I was alternately struck by how explosive and graceful he was and how gassed he was. Because if he was at full capacity, I think this team would not only make it into the playoffs, I think they could make some noise there. But he is so clearly not. And Dan, you are absolutely correct. It's not worth sacrificing the long-term future of this franchise just for the right to get destroyed by the Lakers in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, the math is bad on them getting that eight seed. It was just too much space in order for them to try to make up in such a short period of time in order to pass Memphis. If they'd had this full team out there the whole year, they wouldn't even be talking about the eight seed. We're probably talking about a 3 or 4 seed, you know, if Zion stays healthy and continues to improve in that way. But, man, I'm tired of worrying about if he looks like he is out of shape. If he looks that good and he's out of shape, stop worrying about the out of shape part and stick with the part where you say that he looks good. That's good enough for me, right? This is not going to be something I think that we're going to have for very long in the NBA. The physics on Zion Williamson do not indicate a dude that's going to have a 17-year career. Let's just say that he has a 5-year career. I'm just going to enjoy the hell out of those 5 years. Like, whatever the time happens to be, I decided this months ago, I'm just going to enjoy it for whatever it is. And what I really think is going on here, because he's so damn incredible and he happens to be a little bit chubby, that brings out the haters like nothing else. Normally, we shower praise upon the chubby basketball players. We appreciate them for being able to do such athletic things in spite of being chubby. But in this case, he's so damn athletic. Now you don't want to appreciate the fact that he's super chubby basketball player, and you want to knock him and hate on him for the fact that he's chubby. And I feel like there's something wrong with y'all for knocking him for being chubby.
I appreciate it, but then minutes later, he is literally get too gassed to get back on defense. Like, I also have eyes, and I can't ignore that that's happening on the court.
Yeah, it's happening. Did you bet on the game? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you're not from there. Did you bet on the game? Because I'll be betting on these games. All I got to do is take the good and then go from there. I don't derive any joy for talking about what Zion is not doing right. We keep talking about his long-term interests. His long-term interests are him not playing in this bubble at all. He doing it for us. Be happy that you get to see what you do. I bet Brandon Ingram, every time y'all talk about him being chubby, Brandon Ingram probably like me. I wish Zion would get 15 of those pounds to me. I'll take them.
That team, it's so much fun though, Mina. You say destroyed by the Lakers. I want to see it. I want to see 1-8, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, all those ex-Lakers with Zion Williamson leading late in games.
Dude, Zion Williamson is such a story that we ignore the fact that that would also be Anthony Davis against the Pelicans. All those former Lakers against their old team. None of that matters.
Also, yeah, Brandon, Zion gets so much love for being thick. What about the skinny representation that Brandon Ingram brings us?
I've been saying that for years. We need more of them. Y'all been appreciating chubby ballers so long, the white folks found out what thick meant, and now they just beating it into the ground.
You know what? Nothing wrong with these Brandon Ingram arms.
There we go. There we go.
I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them.
That way to go.
Your turn, Dan.
My arms are more like thighs. They're more like cutlets. They are not Brandon Ingram.
Now that the Marlins are returning to the field, do you feel that MLB is in a better spot?
All right, I know that many of you were longing for sports for a long time, 133 days, but you weren't longing so much that you were longing for Orioles Marlins, which is what you're about to get. You're about to get a little bit of dismantled Marlins against the Orioles, and Derek Jeter, whose public face on all of this Marlins stuff, he had to have thought, all of this was going to go easier than it has gone. He got out there awfully late, putting a voice on the Marlins being a shame for all of Major League Baseball. Am I more optimistic? I don't know how you can be optimistic about this season not being canceled when you've got the Cardinals also in the same kind of trouble. The Marlins just happened to be first to this. And what Derek Jeter said, it wasn't anything but incriminating when he's saying these players are not as reckless as perhaps you thought they were, because they weren't out there carousing, but they also were too lax, when we all have plenty of information that being lax around this is not something that's going to work in that sport.
Well, here's the other thing, too. We're asking if Major League Baseball is in a good place. The problem that Major League Baseball has is the place it's in, and that place is called America, right? Like, what they are fighting against is not just stuff that they can, like, really specifically control within themselves, but the larger environment that they're in, which is this country generally, Florida in specific. There really is but so much they can do on this. So people could be more diligent. That's certainly the case. But Major League Baseball's problem is diligence is not something that is totally enforceable. And the part that you can't change is the pandemic that we are living under. And so if this is going to be entirely dependent upon the vigilance of the players, then this is probably going to fail.
I'd like to explain why I was smiling when Dan was talking. It was, you know, a very serious subject, and I did not find that amusing. What I did find amusing was the reason that Derek Jeter gave in that presser was that a player had gone out for a milk, which apparently is a thing that baseball players go out for. You said you're not optimistic about the season finishing, but I am. Not optimistic. I think it's going to finish because Major League Baseball seems determined to muddle through all of this, outbreaks going from team to team, city to city at all costs. The fact that there isn't a plan for dealing with these outbreaks, that there's no clear threshold, that was the plan. It's a feature, not a bug. They always wanted to keep this vague so they could field these replacement players and just try to postpone games and keep pushing things along and kicking the can down the road until they get to October.
Yo, here's the question. What will it take for them to stop? Like, how many teams would have to be out of action at the same time for them to say, no, this isn't going to work? I don't have an answer for that. I say the same thing with the NFL. I have literally no idea what will make them stop in their pursuit of getting that bread.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
All right, this is our first American Spider-Man. We go out to New York. What do we have now?
Do you question if this is Katie Ledecky's most impressive athletic feat?
Will any of you be brave enough to take out America's sweetheart here by calling this fraudulent advertising or some sort of trick? Because I'm not willing to do this. Katie Ledecky is a swimmer. She is wonderful. She is America's sweetheart, or portions of America anyway. Let's check out what she's doing with this milk campaign.
Yo, it's the mere idea that she even thought to herself that she could do this. That's incredible.
Oh, wow. That has to take incredible strength.
Yeah, I bet this is the first take.
What part of the body works the hardest there? The neck, right? Because she's keeping her head perfectly still.
Well, let's also not forget the lungs. Like, in order to do this, well, I guess she got the snorkel. Never mind.
Snorkel, yeah.
You know what? Suddenly not impressed.
I do marvel, though. We cover sports for a living. We know how great these athletes are ostensibly, but we don't really, because if this is real, the amount of body control required to do something like that, you got to be a physical freak to do some of what they do in that lonely world, especially dominating underwater the way Michael Phelps did.
Yeah, let me ask another question, too. Is that in her backyard? And I'm just asking that because I feel like the public pool is generally not a great place to be. But in the face of the pandemic, I understand that you want to show us that you ain't going to spill none of that milk. But the last thing I'm doing is getting in no public pool. And the last thing I'm doing after that is getting in a public pool where they let people just bring milk. Are you going to take, you bring milk with you in the pool?
Apparently, if you're a Marlin, right, and you're looking for milk. If Poppy was here, Dan, I think he would say that there's no way my son, Dan, could do this and pull that off. Not because of the athleticism required, but because you would have had to resist drinking the chocolate milk.
There you go.
Yeah,
yes.
He would.
Yeah, but you guys are underestimating the swimming skills of a manatee. Let me look at that again, if I can, because I think Bomani said, is that her backyard pool? Bomani, what kind of backyard do you think she has that is the backyard pool?
I was trying to, I mean, look, man, she won a lot of medals. I was just simply trying to entertain the possibility that maybe, just maybe, she wasn't swimming in a public pool in the middle of a pandemic. and you guys got it wrong. The biggest holdup that Dan would have trying to swim and do this is how do you get that kind of stroke when you're swimming with a t-shirt on?
Do you question where this ranks compared to our other Spider-Man videos?
I would dare anyone in the history of this company to say that they have covered Spider-Man better than this show has. There's never been a show that covers Spider-Man this well. Let's check out a montage of international Spider-Man.
I hate all of these, okay?
I don't think I've seen this Spider-Man. Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
That looks just pathetic. I hate this one.
Oh, yeah.
You hate this one? Who can hate this video? Wait till you see the surprise in this video. Yeah. Who hates
that? That's the
that?
Part. Oh, Argentina.
I can't believe we're still showing this.
Pomani with Argentina. Pomani just shouted Argentina. All right, this is our first American Spider-Man. We go out to New York. What do we have now?
Wow.
So nothing terrible is going to happen to him? He's just fooling around on a wall? What kind of Spider-Man is this?
A little disappointing, I've got to say. Like, a competent Spider-Man is not nearly as hilarious as those ironic ones that we've been showing you.
Wait a minute. Why are they making Spider-Man so much better internationally than we are? That's no good.
Better?
What kind of video was that?
This is the first Spider-Man video we've shown where I have it compelled to call the producers after the show and ask, did you make sure that person lived? Okay? Because I don't want to be complicit in a crime.
Raise your hand if you were just a little bit disappointed at how well that went for New York Spider-Man.
Yes, of course I was. Of course. What do you mean? Yes, yes.
Tonight at 6:30, Celtics and Heat.
All right, let's check in here with Paul Pierce. You know that he is a Celtic who doesn't have much use for the Heat. The other day, he's watching a big lead against the Trailblazers. The Celtics are winning by 20. And here's what Paul Pierce had to say and do.
Paul Pierce went to the victory cigar too early. I have that. I see him with that cigar over there right now. He hit on that. He hit the cigar already.
How about next to Paul?
Yeah, don't hit her in the head.
Kemba Walker's mom.
These games are weird to watch because they feel like video games sometimes, what it is you're watching. But then the lead gets blown. Portland roars back, and Paul Pierce is going to be emotional the other way here.
But a big third quarter from Damian Lillard. Lillard, another three-pointer. Puts it in. Damian Lillard once again.
That's pretty good.
Are you intrigued, Bomani? Heat Celtics, Heat have a fun team. They're fun to watch on offense.
Yo, can Jimmy Butler have it go every time that he comes out with the jersey without his name on it, and every time somebody stops him, and then every time he puts on the new jersey? Because I actually think that does more to get out his message than any of these equality or hope or anything else that anybody's got on the back of their jersey.
How about you, Mina? Are you intrigued?
I am, though. I'd like to start a campaign right here, right now. If we're going to have virtual Paul Pierce, can we get virtual Poppy, right, in the stands for the Heat? How has that not been broached as a topic for ESPN yet?
Well, actually, the show is working on virtual Stugatz getting a seat, but I think you gave us a better idea there. We got to get Poppy Stugatz's seat.
How did you not think of that yourself? What kind of son are you?
Tonight at 10 p.m. on ESPN. Angels and Mariners.
The Mariners have been very cruel to Mina Kimes, who loves the Mariners. They've been bad for a good long time. Let's badger her with some Mariner highlights here of them being incompetent.
The 1-1. This was tough. Davis coming home to score. Ball game is tied. Right behind him, Piscotty. A's have taken the lead. To the backstop. Murphy comes home and scores standing. 3-1 Oakland.
This is all fifth inning here. Fifth inning. It's also the last decade of Mariners baseball. Center field, more damage being dealt.
Did it 6-1 Oakland. Decade? More like 15 years. Hard hit grounder
pass. Seager fair ball. Are you actually watching this slop these days, Mina? Do you starve for sports so much that you continue to watch terrible fifth innings like that?
I want you to look at this face, okay? This face has not cried a tear for the Seattle Mariners in far more than a decade. That little montage that you guys put together trying to do the whole Malcolm Butler thing to me that you always do on the show, I felt nothing, okay? My soul is empty. Yes. You can't hurt me. The Mariners can't hurt me.
I would just like to make the note that watching that really saddened me because I haven't given a thought to the Seattle Mariners since that time. They won 155 games and still didn't make it to the World Series. But that I hurts. Have recently had the Mariners brought to my attention because they got like six black dudes on the team. They're the blackest team in the league. And they sorry? Are you serious?
No,
team we get? We finally get ourselves a team and it's sorry? Now, you're probably saying maybe they sorry because they have all those black dudes, to which I say Black Lives Matter. That's the song of the summer, all right? Black Lives Matter. Tell the other dudes on the team to start acting like Black Lives Matter because they're out here making a lot of black people miserable.
But Monty, that cut deep, though. You went straight to the 115-win Mariners. How did that team not win in the postseason? That team is the one that killed your soul.
But a distant memory.
You know what a real distant memory is? Ken Griffey Jr. He used to play for y'all 20 years ago.
They had A-Rod. They had Griffey, A-Rod, and Randy Johnson on the same team, and they couldn't win anything. You need more Bomani Jones and Mina Kimes in your life. They both have podcasts, The Right Time with Bomani Jones and Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Check them both out. Thanks for watching.
Keep going. Seriously. If you come up with anything, you got anything else, right? I'm right here. I mean,
remember that time Mark McGwire hit like a 530-foot home run off Randy Johnson in that old stadium y'all used to play in?
The Kingdome.